I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Real spoilers powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent Breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 458, Greta.
Oh, doggy.
I was surprised. I thought this would be have more about Fox News.
Yeah. I thought, I was like, you know, what is it, Greta Von Fleet?
Yeah.
Is that the band? I'm like,
Led Zeppelin Light?
They're pretty new to have a biopic, but okay, whatever.
That's how you get it right.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah. So you don't have as much story to tell.
Or Greta Gerwig. I mean, she's a pretty young and upcoming director, but I'm like, okay, you want to make a movie?
Greta Garbo.
Is that old-timey?
That's old-timey okay, reference, well, yeah. So I guess we should go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. And we have a guest. Our guest today is Jeff Hamilton. Hey, Jeff, how's it going?
Very good. Happy to be here.
And he is joining us via Skype-a-phone.
And this is a very special occasion because not only is Jeff a guest, we love having guests on the show, but he is our very first winner of our Patreon contest to come on the show.
We should have like a little applause sound effect there.
Golf clap. Yeah, we'll insert golf clap.
So
do it in post.
Yeah.
If we ever become important enough as a podcast to be trivial, you will be an answer to an even more trivial question.
That is true. Here's hoping.
Yes. So, but no, it's a great
not way. That you're trivial, but yeah.
But it's a great way to hook up if you want to be hooked up in that manner.
Yeah, right.
The Patreon subscribers that we appreciate them. So we appreciate you, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff.
Yeah, and I really like the content.
Well,
the regular podcast is great. I love the box office update, but especially the Patreon stuff is real fun. The old
thank
movies.
You. Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you for.
Yeah, thanks. We're really trying to give people that extra bonus like yourself to come over and support the show because we've said it a million times, but we're doing stuff a little different over there, and that's all bonus to say thank you for supporting this show. You know, it's not just like we're doing a separate thing over there. Everything all ties in together, and so you and our other patrons are awesome.
Also, feel free to keep praising us. That'd be fantastic. Yeah,
yeah. And you have a podcast too, right, Jeff?
I do. It's Endgame Podcasts. Endgamepodcast.com if people want to look it up. We do TV shows, the big ones, like Game of Thrones and Westworld, but we also do some other ones that are less common, Better Call Saul, Fargo. We started off with The Americans, which unfortunately is over. That was our baby, but we have a lot of fun. Loose format, but we do segments and we go through the episode. So please check it out.
Awesome.
We know all about loose formats. So
yes.
Did you
steal our loose format idea?
Yes, it's definitely. You got to copyright that guy.
I was going to say, did we not get a patent on
damn
that?
Damn it.
Yeah.
Well, I think you owe Lane LeVanway $5.
Yeah, there's an old-timey reference.
So, I guess with all that being out of the way, a quick shameless plugs. Don't forget we're available on iTunes. You can go there, rate, review, subscribe. It helps us tremendously. It doesn't have to be a work of literary masterpiece. It can just be a quick, we love it.
I told him last week.
Oh, okay. And so also don't forget facebook.com/realspoilers. While you're there, join the League of Show Sharers. So there, all that is out of the way. We will now dig in to Greta. I can tell by the look on Joe's face.
How happy are you guys that I'm back? that you don't have to do like a synopsis anymore.
Well, oh yes, we're very happy we don't have to synopsis.
Well, you know, the other thing is that we don't have a video feed on Jeff, so we don't know the look on his face when we say the movie title Greta. So
that is true.
Jeff, could you describe what your face looks like when we say Greta?
So I kind of did you guys like it or not?
No. We're not doing that.
I have complaints and praise, but probably more the first.
Okay. Attaboy.
I thought it kind of picked up steam in the last 20 minutes.
You're more than welcome to stay on the show. Yeah.
A lot of problems at the beginning.
Well, I don't think you're going to be alone, Jeff, so don't worry. We appreciate
you. Oh, thank God.
You're good. Here's the ultimate irony. I kind
of
dug it.
You son of a bitch.
Of course he did, because if you haven't noticed Tom's trend lately, he's opposite
true.
Man.
Yeah, and I'm not doing it on purpose. Like, I mean, to me, this movie is a deep fried taco. Like, whatever you're going to complain about, I doubt I will defend.
Right.
But like, it kind of worked for me.
Oh, God.
I wish it was about 10 minutes shorter. Like, it does get a little slow.
I wish it was never made.
But but I was just like, okay, this movie's completely ludicrous. But
I totally see where you're coming from, and I agree with what everyone has said so far. So I think this will be a fun one to talk about. I will tell you right now, when this movie started and it got into the point where Chloe Grace Moretz meets Greta, and she opens the door, I'm like, this is The Room. I'm like, she's Tommy Wiseau.
Somebody did say that, like, if Gillian Anderson and Tommy Wiseau had a baby, it would have been this movie.
I mean, and it's hard. I mean, you know, is it Isabella
Mussolini? Russell?
No.
It's Hooper.
Yeah, she, you know, so she's a French actress, and she's been in some art house stuff, and so she's kind of an art house darling, I'd say. She hasn't quite hit the mainstream here in the States, but people have a love for her as an actor, and she's really good, I think, especially in her French, you know, her French work, and when she's not hamming it up in a weird.
Okay, I'm glad you brought that up.
Sure.
Is she supposed to be French in this movie?
No, Hungarian.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the spoiler.
Okay.
Because they say that the French
why are
is
you
an
talking?
Affect.
Got it. They say that.
They do say that, but I thought, I don't know why I thought that she was an American.
No.
And then she had gone crazy enough that she started talking in French.
Talking in tongues.
Yeah. Well, not like she started like.
The truth isn't
something.
Far off. It's just Hungarian, not American.
But yeah, it was like they do say that because there's a scene where Chloe Grace Moretz is just kind of like, why are you talking with a French accent? And I was like, wait, what? Wait, where did I miss?
So back to my Tommy Wiseau thing. So I love The Room. The Room is far beyond.
Okay,
a deep
but do you love The Room because you ironically?
Yes, of course.
Okay. Like, yeah, see, the Room is not a deep fried taco. You love it because it's bad, right?
The Room is beyond deep fried taco status. It's a completely different beast.
Is it like a taco that slid under the fryer that somebody's like, oh, yeah, that's still
and
good.
10 years later, they picked it up and then fried it. Yes. Yeah, right. So, but when she answers the door, she is, I mean, I don't care if you like her as an actor and in French films or whatever. She is so bad.
Yeah,
like,
it's
and,
not
and,
good.
And don't give me that crap of, oh, well, she's French. And so, you know, she has a language barrier. Then don't cast her. Like, she is horrible. And she is, this was totally reminiscent of Tommy Wiseau. Like, I am like, this is going to be the freaking Room. This is the new Room.
It was.
It's crazy.
It was
like,
it was crazy.
Her portrayal is crazy. Yeah. And the more she leans into it, and that's why I agree with Joe and I agree with Jeff, like what he's saying, like as far as the last movie, when it gets nuts, it doesn't make it necessarily a good movie, but it gets more into The Room crazy territory. And
it definitely gets watchable.
I'm on board.
I will agree,
but
like the last 10 to 15 minutes is just kind of like, all right.
But it was intense. It was crazy. It was just insane. Her dancing, we're going to get into
and
it.
And we're
but,
saying none of that was supposed to be funny?
I don't think it was intentionally supposed to be funny.
I really feel
I
like
really
this.
Don't.
I think this is The Room. I think this is like.
I mean, that's not the sort of film that Neil Jordan typically makes.
Right.
So should I know who that
that's
is?
That's true.
It's the guy who did The Crying Game.
Oh.
Yeah.
And Interview with the Vampire, The Good Thief.
Did he do Stargate? Did he do the Stargate movie?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't think
I think it's one of the acts. So. I think maybe Steven Rea, however you say his name, was in Stargate. I knew somebody from Crying Game, I think, was in Stargate.
Oh, okay.
But yeah,
Kurt
so like
Russell.
This, I think that this movie is just insane. And I think this very well, I wish it were better and I wish it was sped up to the point of craziness. Like, because the second half, I'm like, okay, I dig this. This is insane. I liked it. But like the first part, it takes so long to get there to turn from bad to bad good. You know what I mean?
I do. So this movie opens. We meet Chloe Grace Moretz's character, and she's kind of this timid, which is also really weird to see.
She's naive. She's moving to the
big
city.
Yeah, and like we've seen enough of Chloe Grace Moretz at
this
point.
I like her. She's good.
Not in this, she's not.
But she's good. This is the problem, not her. I mean. She's good.
Yeah, she's a fine actress. Mm. I mean, she's Hit Girl. I mean, you know, that's she was Hit Girl. She was, who was she with?
In Let the Right One In.
Oh, yeah, she's in the remake. She's fantastic in that.
The Let Me In is... Or Let Me In's the original.
I forget which is what. Let the Right One In is, I think, is the original.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Let Me In is the remake.
Sure.
Okay, yeah. So anyway, it's a good remake.
The problem with the remake is it came out too fast. Like, the original one picked up steam in the States way after the release, and then the remake came. It was kind of the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo problem.
So, Jeff, real quick, you know, I mean, from listening to the podcast, you kind of know our taste in movies. Real quick before we go forward, what kind of movies are you into? Like, what's your thing?
Movies made after 1970, pretty much all genres.
Okay.
Less horror, but I didn't consider this a horror movie. It didn't have the things about horror that I don't like. It had other things that I don't like.
It becomes a horror movie in the last 10 to 15
minutes. It's really more of a thriller.
This is more in the Silence of the Lambs category. Whoa. Not good, but it's that tone, though, where it's like supposed to be suspenseful and
like
a thriller.
I have a hard time really classifying Silence of the Lambs as a horror movie. Right.
Get out. It is absolutely a horror movie, down to the point where they give you the first person POV.
It is, but it walks.
It's a horror. It's a horror movie that they had to call a thriller so it would win an Oscar.
But it is a horror movie, but it's a very unconventional horror movie. Like, it doesn't have all the same tropes. But if you call it a horror movie,
it has a final girl.
Okay.
It has gore. It has a first person shot from the killer's POV. Mm-hmm. Those are the three things you need for a horror movie.
Well, like this movie.
So I think when people say it's not a horror movie, it's because they don't totally like horror and they think it's too good to be a horror movie.
Wow. Exactly.
But I agree. It does meet the standard. It meets the standard.
Yeah. I mean, I just called it on Twitter a horror movie the other day. I agree. I just think that you can pick, you can give reasons why it's not, but I still think it fits in there.
It's totally. Absolutely a horror movie.
Okay, cool. So I think your tastes are pretty similar to us. Yeah. I mean, pretty much everything. Not as much of a horror guy. Like, me and Tom aren't huge horror buffs. Yeah. Joe's obviously the horror guy. Okay, cool.
So yeah, so we meet Chloe Grace Moritz, and she's, again, very timid, very naive, I guess you could say, about the big city. But it's also she's so stupid. You could have said, I'm coming from some town in Missouri. Where are you from? Boston.
I know. When she said Boston, I was like, wait, yeah, what?
I'm pretty sure that Boston is on the same level as New York City.
I think Boston is probably meaner.
Oh.
Yeah, what was the weird moral high ground? People from Boston return purpose.
Right. She could have said, obviously, anywhere. Arkansas, Missouri. Right,
should have been Midwest.
And Kansas. Anything.
There's no payoff to Boston. Right?
Like, whatsoever. She doesn't have a Boston accent either.
All it does is confuse things.
I heard they wanted to get Mark Wahlberg as Greta.
Yeah. They wanted Mark Wahlberg as the cop. Yeah, that's what it was, yeah.
Well, he was going to play all the characters, really. It was his one-man show.
Yeah, he's going to be all the cops on the force. It's Mark and Donnie and the one that's like does the burgers thing. They're all going to be the same.
I'd watch that.
Yeah, you would. So she finds this purse on the subway. She goes to see her friend, who I
came into the movie.
I got to say, the casting on the purse is great. That is quintessential. That is quintessential old lady purse.
It was old lady purse. I'll give you that.
So hat tip to the casting director of purses.
Hairpin.
I came in when her and not Kat, whatever her name is.
You recognize her?
Who is she?
She's the girl from Unfollow or... Is it Unfollowed? No, what was the one?
It Follows.
It Follows. Oh, okay. She's the main girl from that. Yeah. And she was the main girl from The Guest.
She reminds me of Kat, whatever her face is. Like, she really... From
Kat Dennings?
Thor? Is that Kat Dennings?
Yeah.
She didn't remind me of Kat Dennings at all.
I think she looked like Blake Lively.
I could see that. Yeah. Very like Blake Lively's second cousin.
God, I don't get the Kat Dennings thing at all.
It's something about the way her voice and, like, she's... thinner, and not to say Kat Dennings isn't, but I just mean something reminded me of that. But I came into the movie theater when they were at a movie and Chloe Grace Moretz is crying because she
that
says, oh, that was my dad's thing.
It is her mom.
Oh,
but it's also like
going to movies with her dad was a dad thing.
Oh, I thought it was with her mom.
I remember her saying dad because I didn't know what else was going on. So I didn't miss much, though. She just came and found the purse.
This whole movie tries to be this hoity-toity, stupid art house thing until it's just like, oh, this gal's bat poop crazy.
I think they realized what they had or didn't have. That's the point, is with this director and with this actor, like, I don't think that they were trying to make schlock. They started making this movie and they said, we have to, you know, turn it up to 11 and make this insane, because like we don't have it. Whatever it is, like the first half, we don't have it.
It's not there.
They go bonkers. And so I really can't imagine if that was the plan the whole time. But there's an abrupt tonal shift.
Yes, there is. Yes, there is. So she talks to her friend, and the friend's, she's like, I'm going to give her, the friend, typical New York kid, but she's not from New York. She's from Boston.
But she's lived there. She knows her stuff.
No.
The friend knows.
They moved there together from Boston.
But the friend, she seems to have a good head on her shoulders, though. I mean, she is like, yeah, you don't need to become friends with this person. This is creepy. Like,
oh, yeah. That's because the friend is not from a little town like Boston. She's from a big city like Boston.
Like Boston.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like I told you, I'm not going to defend it.
No. Yeah. And like, that is true. Like, they both, like, Chloe Grace Moritz's character definitely has, like, a Midwestern sensibility.
Yeah.
Where the friend is, like, the big city kid.
But the friend clearly comes from money.
Yes.
And Chloe Grace Moritz's character does not.
But I feel like she does, because...
Well, I don't think she's poor.
Right.
But I think she's more like the middle class.
Got it.
Because they say that the roommate's
dad
bought an apartment in Tribeca.
Yeah. Right.
Like that.
Bought a loft in Tribeca.
Yeah. That's not
the other one's dad is like, yeah, I got a PowerPoint presentation going on, so if you can wrap this up.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just going to walk around with it projecting on my face. Like, I can't turn the lights on for a second.
So Chloe, she just, the friend decides to, is going through the purse, and it's like random pills and all this other stuff. And Chloe Grace Moritz,
like old lady medicine.
Old lady meds. Yeah.
So she's got to have her meds.
I don't know. Like, that looked like birth control. Like, the way it was. I mean, no judging.
Well, birth control is normally on that round wheel. This was more like
my wife's was absolutely on.
Really?
I've only ever seen a card that looked like the wheel. No?
Yeah. I mean, the wheel is the
thing.
I
don't think it was birth control.
What if you don't judge her, Kevin? I think that ship has sailed.
I bet it was something cheap because she had to have it in all 10 of those purses.
That's very true. Yeah.
I think my vote over the counter.
My vote was Advil cold.
Yeah, I think aspirin type thing.
Then that makes Chloe Grace Moritz even more dumb.
She's got to have her medicine for
sniffles. She's got to have her meds for the sniffles. Her allergies are out of control.
So she plays Francis for Francine.
Francis. Right? Oh, Francie.
Would they call her? They like, call her like whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. So
the talking mule.
Yeah, that would make this movie a lot more entertaining. So she goes to the old lady's house, and they have a sit down, and they're talking or whatever, and there's a banging on the door, and I was like, well, there's somebody behind that wall.
First of all,
I've seen enough of these movies. I know it's not the neighbors.
I know she's just a girl from Boston and not a girl from Boston, but when the banging was going on. And she's like, oh, I have a guest. Stop it or whatever.
It's the neighbors.
I'm like, how naive and stupid are these people to go to this woman's house? Like,
right.
There is obviously tomfoolery afoot.
Yeah.
And why did they stop banging?
Right. That's what
immediately.
I mean.
I'm sorry. You have company?
That is 100% my point.
My bad.
So whoever's locked up in this room, when she says, I have company, you're going to stop because you don't like
and
it?
Then, yeah, the neighbors in New York. Or just like, no, man, we're totally in the wrong here. Sorry about that.
It's just a terrible, the whole idea of her.
Jeff, you're not
from
New York, are you?
No, I'm from Boston, and I find their whole people from Boston are nice ridiculous.
Are you actually from Boston?
I am, yeah.
That's great. That's even better.
We did not plan this. I feel like a magician. Jeff, we have not met before. Is that right? Pick a card.
Correct.
Pick a Metro card. Any Metro card.
That's why your pronunciation of horror is horror.
Yeah, the Boston accent is slight, but it's there.
Yeah.
So she goes, and then she starts to befriend this woman, and even her friend is like, this is freaking weird, dude.
So she sets it up. Greta sets it up as though I have a daughter, but we don't speak, and I'm very lonely. And then you find out that Francine, her mom, she spills the beans that she's lost her mom because Greta's trying to get information. She's like, well, actually, she passed away. And so Greta sees herself as, oh, I need a daughter. You need a mom. Like, this is perfect. And to combat the loneliness, Chloe Grace Moretz says, hey, get a dog. My mom used to breed them. And Greta's like,
she's
no,
like, I'll help you pick it out.
But yeah, and Greta's like, no. But as soon as she gets back to her apartment, starts talking with the roommate, she gets that phone call. And immediately, Chloe Grace Moretz is into it. She's like, yeah, I'll take you Saturday. And the roommate's like, no, not at all.
Yeah. I do.
Kevin, can I ask you, I know you hate heavy-handed exposition. Did the first half hour of this movie drive you up the wall?
It did.
I
was counting. There's like 10 different scenes in the first 15 minutes.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's I can't stand it when they can't naturally write in exposition, and you know, it, and especially when you're trying to get Greta's fake backstory, which we know eventually will be fake, trying to get Francis's backstory and stuff with her mom, and it's just like, you all, besides from Greta and Chloe talking, you know, it's like, but the roommate knows. You don't have to tell the roommate.
Right.
You don't have to explain that what you did, you know, with your dad.
If you're moving in with this, with the roommate, there's a pretty good chance you've been friends with this girl, we'll say, at least 4 years.
They didn't meet on Craigslist, like they know. So it's always just like, ugh.
Oh, that'd be a hot movie, though.
That would be a hot movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a different movie.
Different.
You know what? There was a moment where I was like, are they a couple?
I thought for a second that Greta was in love with.
With who?
With.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right?
I'm in complete agreement.
I started
like,
I mean, at first you think it's like mother daughter, but then I'm like, this is getting weird.
When it went kind of fatal attraction there.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, there's no bunnies in the pot,
like, they're just crazy enough to do it.
I couldn't figure out why it was rated R, so that made me real suspicious that it was going to take a sexual route. Because until the finger gets cut off, why is it R?
Why? Right, there's no reason.
And that's when things get nuts. And I mean, they get a little nuts before that with trapping her in the box and everything that we'll get into. But it's like, not until an hour into the movie, like halfway through the movie, does it get crazy and does it turn R-rated?
Right.
And so I really have to think that they made a decision to say,
flipped it.
If we want anyone to see this movie, we've got to market it as a totally bananas.
Not just three white dudes doing a podcast.
Four.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, right. I'm so used to saying three.
If Jeff's avatar,
there's no webcam.
I was about to say, if Jeff's avatar is to be believed.
Maybe he's, do you think he's pulling a Greta on us?
No.
Oh, no. He's going to take over the podcast.
Well, at least he doesn't have an accent.
That's true.
Well, not a foreign accent.
It's Boston.
Boston's close to foreign.
You know what? I'm starting to get worried. I think Jeff is Greta putting on a Boston accent.
I like when you called him out on his accent, Mr. President of the Josh Brolin, fan club.
It's been a long time, buddy.
Say figures.
It's figures.
That's been even longer. You can retire that with Paul Walker jokes.
So yeah. So this relationship is starting to grow, and additionally, it does kind of feel like a mother daughter relationship.
God, when she got that dog, I'm like, oh. We just talked about this.
I will also say,
so there kind of is a bunny in a pot.
There's kind of, but that dog disappears. Like, there's no payoff to the dog.
I mean, you're to presume
she does kill it, but like, you
she
think,
gave it the tranquilizer that messes a human up, but like that same amount for a little
but
dog.
You would think that would be something that would come.
You'd see it. She would discover
she'd
it, right?
Open a bag or something.
Yeah,
you know,
I was like, just like, why did we kill the dog?
Right.
Other than to be like, she's really, really
she's
evil,
real bad.
I'm guessing they cut it. I bet you that was
maybe a
plot point. And I think they said, as we've said, like, stop killing dogs in movies. Like, we don't.
But they still killed it.
Yeah. Well, right. But I mean, even to show it, though, is like the next step. Like, because
it's not like Theon Greyjoy stepped on a puppy.
Yeah. No, this is the Batman bomb in the pants. But in Batman Returns, we know Batman blew a guy's junk off in the sewer.
He didn't just blow a guy's junk off. He blew him in half.
Well, he would have, but you don't see it. So, you know, so they bomb pants it.
The trademark it.
Yeah.
That's a t-shirt.
Oh, yeah.
That's a t-shirt right there.
What do you
there.
Think, Jeff? Bomb pants?
Yeah, I think it'll work.
All couldn't right. be any worse than Monster Squad goals.
Jeff, get us set up on a T print or whatever.
OneHourTees.com.
Cafe Press, yeah. You know what's going on. We'll cut you in.
So this relationship starts to grow, and she kind of ditches her friends to go to dinner with Greta, she being Frances.
Yeah.
Pronouns, pal.
It's just like, I thought when your name's Francis, you are born old. Like, I just can't look at little Chloe Grace Moretz and say Francis.
But you see all these,
Franny,
like, you have all those
new thing.
Those, like, kind of old-timey names
that's
come
true.
Back around,
yeah.
Or all of a sudden, you know.
I'm not like, giving no crap, but I just look at Chloe Grace Moretz, and I'm just like, Francis.
It's weird,
you know,
like,
it's,
she, it, I guess I still picture her as Hit Girl. Like, that's who I see in my head. So when I see her on screen, I was like, oh, yeah, she's got to be in her early to mid-20s at this
point. She started acting, she was a kid on Hit Girl.
Yeah, but
she was like
something
14.
Younger. She was younger. She did something also like before Hit Girl.
Maybe, but Hit Girl is where she, I mean, she was a kid.
Yeah.
She was,
yeah.
So, I mean, when you start that young,
right.
But I mean, yeah, but she's taken on a lot of roles. Like, and she had a small role in Suspiria, which was kind of in the same genre, obviously more horror.
I got
to
tell you, I never got the thing for that movie. The original.
Oh.
I've never seen it.
I've seen it.
New one's better than the original. Ooh. I like the original. New one's a better film.
That's a bold, I know, that's a bold thing to put out into the internet.
Maybe a hot take. Jeff, did you see any of the Suspirias?
I did not.
Okay. But yeah, I mean, the thing is, the new Suspiria is really a well-made film, and there is that horror element, and it's very creepy. It doesn't have the Goblin soundtrack. It doesn't have the colors that Dario Argento had. Mm-hmm. But I mean, as far as a concise, well-made, well-shot, well-acted film, like, it's legit.
That's Dakota Johnson?
Mm-hmm. And okay. It's the best thing Dakota Johnson's ever done, hands
down.
Well,
that's a bull. I mean, the bar is set real low.
But, I mean, she's good. I mean, I'll give her credit where credit's due. I mean, just like with Melissa McCarthy, I don't like her, but that Can You Ever Forgive Me? It's a great performance.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, it's just, I think, the right role. I mean, you get a lot of these actors that they start out, they take the paycheck, they get pigeonholed, right? And, you know, I'm going to do the 50 Shades of Grey, going to do all this. But it's like when you give them a real script.
Well, I think that was you're signed on for 17 movies, and now you have to do them.
Yeah.
That's kind of what that 50 Shades was. Yeah, so...
So they're at dinner.
She's at dinner, and she's, you know, the Frances is making the risotto that her mom made. Greta's making goulash. I don't know.
What?
So
she needs candles.
Right, so she
How
goes,
dumb is this? Hey, can you go get me the candles? They're in the cabinet right next to my creepy purse cabinet. Yeah. Don't open that one. Like, if you've got secret rooms... chess, locks, all this stuff. You're not going to lock the cabinet with
it?
Like,
I have two thoughts on that. The first is that it's yes. Like, you know, like that just seems like poor planning. Like, she clearly was not a project manager. Second, like, why does she instantly go to this is incredibly creepy instead of this is incredibly sad?
Makes the jump right away.
I mean, and some of it's because, like, the, you know, the blatantly obvious score is telling her to.
Right.
But, and it's someone that leaves Zunes on subways to recover.
But,
them.
Like, yeah. I think my first reaction would be like, oh, this lady's so sad and lonely. She's leaving purses around. Not, oh, this lady clearly must be a creepy stalker serial killer who's going to abduct me and chain me up in a box.
No,
like,
you're right. The only reason we think it's horror is because the score rolls up. Like, the audience.
No.
What?
No. My immediate reaction was like, get out of that house.
Well, yeah, and you're a cop and you know what movie you're getting into. But remember, this is a young girl from Boston. She's not from Boston.
She's from just a tiny little village of Boston.
Remember how they set her up as being a naive girl.
Right.
So it's like, you would think that the nice, naive girl in her, especially to Tom's point, would go like, oh my gosh, like, Greta, let's talk about this. And like, I get it. I'm lonely. I miss my mom. I totally get it. You don't talk to your daughter. Like, let's talk. But yeah, she.
Yeah, I think the more logical conclusion is that, like, you feel sad for this old lady.
I was like, get out of that house.
Well, absolutely. Yeah, we all
time to go.
But 90% of what you watch is horror.
I guess that's true. I guess that
and you're a cop.
That has prepared me for life.
Cops are always like, how does this turn into a crime?
Because it's gonna.
Right.
I have no doubt that this is what's gonna happen. So she's like, I gotta go. I don't feel good. I don't want to be here anymore. And she bolts. And Greta goes full crazy pants and is like texting her constantly and calling her constantly.
Oh my god,
also,
the amount of text
also,
on her phone.
Also, who has a landline?
Yeah,
older people.
It's the kids that have the landline.
They have a landline in their apartment, and I'm just like, what? That's not a thing.
I said the same thing to Crystal.
Jeff,
when I was like, landline?
Is it a Boston thing? You sound like you had some insight here.
No, the landline thing irritated me because Erica says early on, I don't want my dad to think I'm not giving you the messages.
Yeah.
Why isn't dad just calling herself?
That's a good point.
They have a landline. They have the answering machine. That's how, you know, we get able to check the messages. And
who checks messages?
But, listen, but not only do they have a landline and answering machine, that friend of the daughter's calls back from the landline that she shared, I think. I mean, unless she kept her cell phone for 6 years or whatever. But but later on, we find out that you know, spoilers, Greta's real daughter is dead. And so we find her friend, her partner. They eventually.
Who
you know,
is that woman? That's another woman I recognize.
Oh, she did look familiar.
Yeah.
But she calls back and it's the daughter's name on the phone that she's
been
calling.
But that could have been that she logged it in her phone under her friend's name,
under the daughter's name.
Like, that might not be a caller ID thing. That could be, like, when she called her, she saved it into her phone.
As that number.
As
that
daughter's
name. If the
friends
shared a phone number, it would be a landline.
Right.
But that's what I'm saying. If it was the daughter's and the friend's calling back, I don't think she's going to keep her lover's cell phone active for years.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
So
yeah.
If she called back, but it was really the friend, then that shows they shared a landline.
Right.
That is my point. I'm like, everyone has landlines in this town. Sorry, it took a while to get there, but it's like, it's very silly.
2019.
The
Nobody
script
has...
might have been written 20 years ago.
Nobody has a landline.
That's how you know it's written by an old guy.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. No, landlines are still a thing.
Yeah.
Where's the rotary phone?
At least they cut the scene where she was churning butter.
Or they call, like, you know, they got the...
Not
the
a euphemism.
The old-timey operator. It's like, call call B724.
Yeah.
Yeah, this movie's so crazy, and Greta's so nuts. Right. I wouldn't be surprised if she's like, get me the operator. And you're like, ma'am, this is AT&T customer service. Right. Like,
do you have a problem with your Wi-Fi?
What's your phone number? Klondike 5.
Yeah, exactly. Also, did anyone else find it suspicious that she had the crappiest of flip phones, yet she was taking amazing telephoto pictures?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that's not how that works.
Although I was wondering, like, I mean, I haven't, they still make those phones.
They do.
Like, you could still walk in and buy a brand new one.
Yeah.
And I was just wondering, like, well, have maybe the cameras gotten better? Not as good as as an iPhone or a Pixel 3, my preferred phone of choice.
I did think, though, she needs a burner phone because she's a criminal.
That's what I thought.
That's fair, too.
She doesn't have a Verizon account.
Okay, that's fair.
I figured that those phones should.
You what?
I figured that those phones
phones
should have been in each purse. There should have been a burner. I'm like,
one for each.
There's
that
no
makes
way
sense
she
too.
Doesn't have a phone for, you know.
She's got these elaborate traps and things, but she doesn't. She has one phone.
Elaborate traps. The old, one inch of wall of drywall right. between your torture dungeon.
I say traps. But...
Also, do you realize that I don't know if this is a character thing or if it's a production thing, which I think is more likely. But those pictures on top of the piano were clearly glued onto the piano because when it would vibrate and shake, they stayed perfectly. Like, those would have been flipping over instantly.
That's true.
And I'm like, they just were glued. They stayed as the whole thing shook.
That didn't weird anybody else out. They're just like, oh, man.
Think that's what, like,
that's true.
You're like having an earthquake from this wall, but like, all your stuff is glued.
It's just on this singular wall, not the rest of the apartment.
This must happen a lot. Huh?
Yeah. So
she pretends to be sick.
Right.
And
she bails
gets out of there.
And
she's getting
it progresses. Like, it's getting bad. Like, Greta shows up at Francis's work, and they try to, you know, call the cops, and the cops are like, just ignore her.
Is this really how police work works? Like, Greta is clearly stalking her.
They're not wrong.
She's really? Not real. She's just standing there looking at her. Like, now
but
when she shows up
can,
in the restaurant, but.
But he said that she can be standing on the street with a telephoto lens in your face.
What?
How do you
think Princess Diana died?
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, it's not her home. It's a restaurant.
It's
which
a, public
is a public
street.
Place. I think if it was her home, it'd be a little different. But they would probably also tell her to just buy curtains.
I just wanted to look into this.
I'm like,
but I mean, look, we see those pictures all the time of, like, you know, Justin Bieber walking on the street and he is swamped with people with, like, lenses in his face, and he can't do anything. Like, you can't do anything.
Yeah, I guess so. It struck me as kind of...
My wife watches the ID Network show about all the stalkers, and then most of them, the cops say their hands are tied. There's not much they can do if a stalker knows how to stay at arm's length.
Okay. Yeah. Wow.
That's why if I were a celebrity, which I'm not, surprisingly enough.
You're not?
Nope.
Oh.
Nope.
Okay.
I would trip.
Not yet.
Thank you. I would trip and be like, oh, he hit me.
Now
I have to lay him out.
I have to say, the other thing that's really stupid that we're...
Take that part out just in case it happens.
the other thing that was stupid that we're about to get into is as Greta goes full crazy and she starts stalking the friend, is the friend's like, oh, well, I'll just leave and go by myself. Like, safety in numbers.
Yeah.
Anytime that Greta is stalking, like, even Chloe Grace Moretz getting off work when she knows she's been slinking in the alleys and looking from across the street, like, just go to where there's... You're in New York. Go to where there's tons of people. Like,
yeah,
if Greta's attacking you, people are gonna, right. You know.
You're in New York.
Yeah. I find it very strange that the friend is just like, oh, no, I'm fine. I'll just leave. And she's walking down an alley. And then she's on a bus full of people, and she's like, let me off, I'll just get off by myself here. Like, no, you have a bus full
wasn't
of people.
It, wasn't it a subway?
No, and she was on a bus in this
oh,
one.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah. So
okay.
Anyway.
Oh,
I'm
that's
just,
right, that's right.
I'm like, logically.
You mean the friend was on the bus.
Friend, yeah.
I'm
yeah.
with you. But so, yeah, so things.
Can I ask
go for it, Jeff.
Joe a question because you're a horror guy?
Yeah.
These jump scares where Greta would just be standing somewhere and then the horror score would come in, these felt very unearned to me. But I don't watch a lot of horror, so I want to know what you thought.
You are totally in the right.
These are the manufactured...
Yeah, it's
not
it, you know, it a jump scare can be effective when the tension is ramped. You're already, your tension is already, you know, turned up a little
and
bit.
And you don't know it's coming. These
right.
were like horror book 101. You're like, okay, yeah, right. clearly she's going to be look. The camera's going to be looking this way. And so when she looks back,
she'll be there.
She's there.
Yeah, there is nothing about this movie that is original or
push the envelope,
yeah. or kind of turn the genre on. Now, what the turn would have been is that Chloe Grace Moretz was crazy. That's the turn.
I will say that, like, for the middle chunk of this movie, I'm like, I think she's kind of being pretty douchey.
Why?
Well, because, like, at some point, like, she goes to her house and, like, reconnects with her. Like, you should never.
That was the worst.
That was a bad idea.
The 100% worst part of the movie was you're trying to distance yourself from this person. You started a police report. You're getting that process going. And then you go to the church.
You give a crap about that. No. So remember, she goes to the house first to check on the flipping dog.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
She's like, I'm worried.
But I get that.
And then she's trying to get the dog taken away.
Right.
And, you know,
just leave it alone.
But the worst is when she goes back to the church and she says, Greta, I'm sorry.
What?
I do need a mother. You know, or Greta's like, what do you need?
But don't forget, she starts by saying, it's Friday.
Yes.
I knew where you would be.
Yes.
Yeah. But like,
I just real quick, I felt like she was like,
that was a bad move.
Like, yes. agitating that late. Like, why was she trying to get her dog taken away? Like,
I don't know.
Like, I mean,
well, she knows she's crazy and she's, and,
but like, I mean, did you see that dog?
But
yeah, so what happens is
so, yeah, so we jumped ahead quite a bit, but
it's for the best. So the friend, so everything kind of starts to slow down a little bit. And then all of a sudden Greta is at the restaurant and she's at Francie's table. And
this is after she's already gone to the restaurant once to try to connect.
Right.
With her.
And so Francie tries to be professional and this Greta is having none of it. So Greta makes a big scene, flipping out, you know, throws a wine glass.
Can I ask you what the deal is with the maitre d' at the restaurant? Every time that Frances wanted to call the police, she's like, call the police. Like she was her assistant. Like I feel like Frances could have called the police at any time.
Oh, with the hostess?
Yes,
you mean?
Like whatever.
Because the maitre d's a character too. They're really weird looking
dude. No, I'm sorry. Yeah. I meant the hostess.
Yeah.
But she would always be like, call the cops. Okay, I'm on it. And then the girl would be like, is that your stalker? Yeah, call the cops. All right, I'm on. Like, it was so weird that she told her to call the cops every time.
I just took it as because she works behind the bar.
That's why
she was actually a
bartender.
Yeah. And so it was like she had access to a phone in a way that.
And I do.
Frances was on her cell phone many times.
I do like the line. So she throws this big scene. The cops show up, and I do like the line where she's like, just ignore her, huh?
Yep.
And the cops is like, yeah, you're right.
Crazy scene. I mean, she is going full.
This is where the movie turns.
Yes, this
is
where
the turn.
It starts. This is where, if they would have filmed it the entire time like this, okay, there's slow build movies, right? So there's movies that very tactfully, very cleverly, and smartly ramp up. So Rosemary's Baby. Rosemary's Baby is an excellent movie that goes bananas in the last 10 minutes. Like, you question the whole time, who's crazy here? What's going on? And then it goes insane. Where this movie was bad for half of it. Like, it was not well written. It was not well acted. It was really bad. And then it went crazy halfway through. Had it have built up properly, fine. Otherwise, I would have just liked it to be insane like 45 minutes earlier. But it's way too slow getting there.
I think I found her phone. But
like,
she uses,
legitimately?
Like, I think this is her phone.
Just like a Nokia flip.
The Greta phone?
Yeah, the Greta phone.
You read me the stats on that bad boy.
Does that look like the Greta phone to you?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a Nokia. And she did have a Nokia. I remember that.
Uh-huh.
Because the other thing, when she handed it to Francis to put her number in, I'm like, that kid's got no idea how to work this.
No.
What is this, T9?
So this is the Nokia 3310 3G.
Ooh.
Oh, there
3G.
You definitely wouldn't be sending photos like that over
no,
3G.
No, absolutely not.
Tell me those specs, Tom.
Here are the specs. Beautiful push buttons and iconic shape design.
Obviously.
Iconic shape design.
A not one, but 2-megapixel camera.
Yeah.
With LED flash for simple snaps.
I'll take a 2-megapixel camera from 20 feet away and I'll show you what the pictures
look
like.
Yeah, right.
A headphone jack for your tunes.
Oh.
Ooh. Which I got to tell you, I have a new iPhone. There's no goddamn headphone jack.
They're all
jack.
Like that.
It comes with the adapter, though.
Yeah.
Look in your box. It comes with one that you put in the charger port, then you put a headphone.
A dongle, they call it.
Oh.
Yeah.
So, Joe saw a dongle, and he's like, I don't want to be associated with
anything. Oh, no. No dongles for me.
A 2.4-inch curved window with polarized layer for better readability in sunlight.
And for her pleasure.
available as both single sim and dual sim variants, which is great when you're a stalker.
Right.
You could swap.
Burn your sim card.
You could have two, so you could toggle back and forth between two of your.
You can dongle back and forth.
Yeah. And then inside, 3G connectivity for calling and texting, all new customizable retro UI.
Ooh, a urinary tract.
Can I ask you this? This is the only thing that matters for anyone that's had a Nokia phone. Can it play Snake?
Bluetooth 2.1 for pairing with speakers and other phones, an FM radio, and an MP3 player for music, 128 megabytes storage,
yeah.
plus a micro SD card for additional 32.
I can fit 5 songs
on there. And most importantly,
okay, please.
Snake is back, bitches.
Tom just showed me this picture of the most kick-ass Snake game. Like, so Nokia phones are, like, my first phone was
bricks.
A Nokia. Most everybody's,
mine was a, I don't
know, they weren't bricks, but they were those small little, like, rectangle phones. You know, they didn't fold or anything, black and white. And the only damn thing you could do on it was Snake. And it's always been on Nokia. And now apparently Snake is, like, 3D and 16 million colors.
It can actually bite you.
Thank you.
The phone will, like, has a little stinger.
Did you see, have you ever seen that ad that's, so Steve Irwin's birthday was this past week.
Okay.
That there was.
Speaking of stingers.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I start doing Steve Irwin jokes now.
Yeah, I know. We're very topical.
But there's, so he's on, like, some talk show and he's got the snake and the gal's like, oh, is that dangerous? He's like,
you
oh,
have to talk like him. You're going to do that.
No, I'm not going to talk like him. That's super offensive. He's like, oh,
no, it's okay. Australians are white.
That's
we can
true.
Do it.
Yeah. That's fine. He's like, oh, no, they never bite. It's fine. As soon as he says they never bite, this thing latches onto his neck, and he goes, huh.
They
and
bite.
The gal goes, what's wrong? He's like, he's biting me right now. You might want to go to commercial. And then he was like, oh, nope, he let go.
Can I update stance on?
He pulls it off. He was like, you take that. He's like trying to like stop the blood from pouring out of his neck. And I was like, go get him, Steve.
Dude, those people, it was PETA, I think.
It was PETA.
Who gave Steve Irwin crap for messing with animals and it being on their territory and he deserved to die.
They got lit up.
Holy
yeah,
I will tell you, PETA. Some people are good at press and that, you know, no, all press is good press. There's no such thing as bad publicity.
Not PETA.
Then there's PETA, who every time, I mean, they're like, I won't say they're as bad as them, but they're on the level of PR of the Westboro Baptist Church, where they have such hot takes on everything, where you're just like, no, PETA. Like,
I feel like the Westboro Baptist Church doesn't have hot takes as much as they're like nuclear takes.
Yeah, those are just completely wrong. But it's like every time they come out with a stance, they get lit up and it's like, you're not, no, like no one agrees with you, PETA.
No,
like,
no.
Anyway, that was just sad.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. Yeah. So yeah, so Greta kind of gets duped by Francie a little bit because the friend kind of says, "Look, man, just tell her you're leaving town." And she was
worst
like,
idea
"Okay,
ever. Yeah."
So she goes to see Greta at the church.
And this, I mean, again, this is the number one. I mean, Jeff, tell me if you agree with me. Like, when you've got a stalker and you're trying to avoid them, and you've got police reports, I think the last thing that you want to do is go to her and tell her she was right and let's connect again, right?
Yeah, they tried to relate it to some move Erica plays with boyfriends.
Oh, yeah, right? That's right. She does.
It
You're
was like
right.
a similar type of ghosting or something.
Yes.
Yeah, not quite the same thing.
And, you know, that might work with some guy, but not
It'll work with a bro, with a dumb bro.
Yeah,
but
let's not extrapolate this boyfriend logic. Have you thought about just going to Greta and just doing hand stuff? And just,
I mean, judging by this movie, Greta would have been down with it.
So what you're saying is, like, you know, you play hard to get, it makes them want you more. If you go and...
Right.
You know, hook
right.
up, then they're done.
Then they're done. Get it
don't
out of
think
the way.
That's what Greta's...
It is not. Well, I mean, Greta might. I don't know.
Well, she like, might, but yeah. I don't think that's her main agenda.
Either. No. So everything kind of falls, you know, Greta said, you know, that they split. And
I like the double head fake here. At first, I thought it was stupid, and then they did the double head fake, and I dug it. Because so what happens is, like, she's... Everything seems happy. She thinks that she's lost Greta for a while. She's lied to her about going out of town. She's got some time to think and figure out what she's going to do. She goes home to her apartment. She heats up a cup of coffee, and it's in the microwave for like 3 seconds, which is going to not make it warm at all. But
nope.
Okay, like literally, just she puts it in. It's like ding. She takes it, drinks it, and you're supposed to think like, oh my God, what's in that coffee?
Well, there was the whole thing with the friend.
Well, because, well, but at this point, she sees the plants dripping with water, like as in Greta knows she's out of town. So like you're supposed to think she's sneaking into the apartment,
right.
Watering her plants for and poisoning the coffee.
Right.
So then she does her, you know, she.
Well, there's another whole scene where Greta is following Erica.
Oh, right. And this is the stupid.
Yeah, that was the she's
yeah,
taking
that's
pictures
before,
right,
the
she's taking pictures
thing.
Of behind
that's,
her, blah, blah.
We talked about that.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah, so she Francis passes out
and you see like the feet walk in, so obviously
there's Greta.
Greta was there and right. poisoning her. She does the whole thing, takes her back. That cab driver was very naive. Like, he must be from Boston.
Well, there's another thing. Like, kids aren't taking cabs.
No, they're taking Ubers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, but she's like, my daughter's very sick. And he doesn't go like, do we need to go to the hospital?
Yeah.
Like, no, she just needs to rest.
All right, man, see ya.
Yeah. He like, he takes her. And I mean, he is like.
But I also think, like, I that part rings true
give
to
it
me.
A, okay.
And that if. If it was a 25-year-old dude coming
right.
out with her,
oh, sure,
but when
sure.
you see a 60-year-old woman
yeah.
helping, the, like, you, I don't think you're going to...
I get it. I wish you yeah. would have asked. I wish you yeah. would have just asked. And she yeah. said, no, she just needs to rest. But so she takes her back, puts her in her creepy room, puts her in the box with all the dolls, which is very creepy, teddy bears, things like that, closes it. And then she wakes up, and this is where you get the head fake, where you're right. like, oh, so she fell asleep on the couch thinking that Greta abducted her.
No.
And then you see, like,
she legitimately abducted
her. And then you're
her.
Supposed to think, oh, she did go on vacation with the dad. The dad's going to pick her up, and everything's great. But then that turns right. to the head fake, because she goes in the elevator. The dad's there to pick her up. And I like this, because it starts going down, and then it's at, like, -3, like she's going to the basement.
And it starts
then
to
it's -14.
Yeah.
Then the walls are closing, where I'm like, this is the creepy horror stuff. This is, finally, we're doing something here. Then she wakes up in the box, where I'm like, okay,
right.
you got
so it. So at the same time she wakes up in this box, Greta is using her phone. Greta is using Francine's phone, Francis's phone.
Doing the...
Yeah, she's just, you know, texting the friend, saying, I'm with my dad. Texting the dad, mm-hmm. saying, I'm with my friend. And neither one are the wiser. Whatever.
Even though the friend just came up with this idea of faking vacations.
Right.
And she just presumes that she did go on a vacation
right,
with the
right.
Okay.
given the relationship that we've seen with the dad, that's kind of non-existent at this point.
I think they're both just kind of dum-dums.
I
girls
think they're
are just,
all dum-dums.
Well, they need to be for the movie to work.
That's true.
Right,
yeah,
exactly.
Right.
I just, yeah.
So time passes. Greta kind of turns Francis into like her surrogate daughter.
Her daughter, yeah. And this is crazy. This is good. Like, this movie is
right.
what we came to see, you know? It's totally creepy. Greta's crazy.
Yeah.
It's like this stuff is this is weird and creepy and
I don't it's not.
What?
I didn't think it was at all.
Oh.
Like, it was just like, let's just pick up the it doesn't to me it doesn't go off the rails until she cuts her finger off.
Well, yeah, that's
and
when
then it was just like,
insanity.
Whoa, okay, now we're doing something. But yeah, so like the
you're
dad
like, now you have my attention.
Yeah, right. So the dad comes to visit and of course the friend.
But it's the finger before the private eye or after?
It's right before.
It is before. Okay,
yes.
So I'm going to say
she has the glove on with the private eye.
Right,
okay,
exactly,
yeah, cool,
exactly.
It. But that was nuts because I actually went down to look at my phone when they were making cookies because I'm like, they're making cookies, and all of a sudden, slam!
Yeah.
Cuts, and I'm like, holy crap! Like,
I was in the same boat where I was looking at my phone. And I was like, oh, that was a music cue that I should have paid attention.
Yeah,
to.
Yeah, and I see the blood.
Oh yeah, I saw it. Yeah,
yeah.
But I know in your defense, Kevin, you don't like to watch cooking scenes ever since Labor Day.
I 100%.
Did you see that gal's gonna be
yes.
in Ghostbusters?
Yes.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
Better not make a pie in that movie. Yeah. But so like,
what if they make a Twinkie?
But until
like
that point,
Twinkie.
Until the chopping off point, it had not gone full crazy. And we're at like 2/3 into the movie.
Yeah.
So that's my biggest complaint is getting there. But.
Right. So, yeah. So the dad comes to visit and the friend's like, hey, where's Francis? And he's like, I thought she was with
she's
you.
She's with you. No,
and
she's with you.
Well, she snuck out.
Did the Spider-Man point
yeah,
at
right.
each other.
So the dad hires a private eye. Private eye tracks down this Hungarian.
He goes to the private eye. The private eye launches an investigation to find the address for a woman named Greta. A restraining order has been filed by the police recently. She has been arrested recently. Can't he just go to the cops and get the address?
That would make sense.
I mean, he clearly...
It is public record.
And he clearly is at the address. He has the file photo. Like, he knows that it's her. Like, yeah, bring the cops with you. Have them investigate. But
right.
he's, like, up on the roof. And then she invites him in for cookies.
And then she kills him.
It's just...
But I will also say, not that I have any knowledge of this, $250 a day is not bad.
No,
oh,
it's
you know,
pretty
I
good
thought,
rate.
I thought
pretty
the
good
rate,
rate
was way low.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good money if you can get it.
Especially in New York.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a $500
But I'm like, $250 a day.
And
I'm
my
like,
familiarity with PI
sure.
rates are, it's 7-8 years old at this point. Yeah.
Right. So, you know, inflation.
I think it was friend rates. I think he's a friend of the friend.
Oh.
He is. You're right. That's true. And he did give him a per diem, so maybe he's eating at some fancy restaurants.
That's
it was
true.
$250
right,
plus expenses.
That, yeah.
So.
So, yeah. So he goes in, he talks to Greta, and he figures it out.
I do like, because at this point we're starting to go to crazy town, and I like when she goes, "Are you a roofer?" Like, I just, like, her jokes are so, this is again so Tommy Wiseau, where like it's an insane joke to make, and her delivery, where I'm just like, this is so bonkers.
Yeah, this is where it goes off the rails.
Like, I liked it.
She's got these gloves on because Greta or Frances has cut off one of her pinky finger.
Oh,
and then injected it.
And then that scene was gnarly.
Legit.
Yeah. That was a gnarly scene.
And
where
her
she's,
being crazy, like,
I like that.
Oh, I did too.
That was good. That was legit.
Yeah. And then so she, Greta or Frances, who is in like this secret compartment of a room, is making noise, banging on the doors. And the private eye is like, man, what the flip is going on? I'm really struggling, by the way, to not cuss.
You know how these neighbors doing their construction work.
Well, we don't get that one yet. That's the later one. Yeah, that's the next one.
She says it's the dog.
My next door neighbors are a marching band.
Yeah. What the hell dog is making this noise? And then
she's like, hey, Bowser. Like,
I have expected her to be like, woof, woof.
Yeah, totally. And then
why does your dog have a French accent?
Yeah.
And also, you've got all this commotion that's clearly coming from the wall by the piano. The piano's shaking. The pictures are shaking. No one that has ever been in this apartment can tell the direction of noise, which is just beyond me.
Right.
But then she goes to look like in 30 different areas for the dog. Like,
right.
So suspiciously.
So she runs up. She turns on the music. She runs upstairs. The cop, the PI, figures out that there's something behind the wall, pulls the piano back, and then he gets jacked with. This is the part that I did find creepy, where like they focus on her feet and she's like running on her tiptoes.
I love this. It's so crazy with her dancing with the gun.
Yeah.
So crazy.
So she injects him with this poison or whatever. He fires some shots off and misses completely.
Yeah, I thought he was going to kill. I mean, clearly it's the suspense, but I'm like, are they going to do it? Are they going to actually have her die this way? And it ends to Greta gets away. The PI kills the daughter and like on to the next one,
right?
Because you knew at some point, and they do a little switcheroo, but at some point you're like, she's gonna be locked up, whether she's dead or she's still locked up, and the new girl's gonna come and she's gonna hear what we heard in the
it's gonna
first
be, we're gonna get a redo at the beginning of the movie. Yeah, so the PI dies, and this was a very creepy scene where she's dancing solo
with a gun
creepy.
And
very
do
creepy.
You have kids? No good.
Yeah. And then like blows this dude away.
Yeah.
So time passes.
Oh, hey,
hey now.
Gotta be careful with you.
Easy. Time passes, and we start to hear from Chloe Grace Moritz's point of view the conversation that Greta and Frances had earlier in the movie.
Yeah.
And things are progressing. You see like drips of poison go into this coffee cup. You're like, well,
it's over.
We're going to do it again. Yeah. And then
they never show you. The big key is they never show you the new girl.
Right. Well, you see her from the back of her head, and she got brown hair. Yeah. You don't think anything of it.
But when they don't show the face.
Yeah, you do. Oh, I knew exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. When you don't show the face.
Not showing you the face.
This is my problem.
There's only one other female character.
Your problem is that Greta just stalked this girl and knows exactly what her face looks like.
Not even that.
Regardless of the hair.
Is your final girl doesn't get any. Your victim of this entire movie. She has nothing to do with it. They could have killed Greta, but they could have killed
Frances,
and it wouldn't have mattered because she is a non-factor.
What do you mean?
Because the best friend's the one that gets revenge.
Yeah.
The best friend's the one that the switcheroo where she poisons Greta's coffee and gets revenge on Greta.
Just because she saves her, like, I don't feel like she has to get the last straw. Like, I mean, what's his nuts from Halloween? What if, not Sheriff Brackett, but the doctor.
Loomis.
What if Loomis never showed up? I mean, like, I'm just saying, like, these final girls have help at times from people.
No. The idea of a final girl is you have a character who does a 180 with her character throughout these movies, right? So Lori in Halloween is kind of like the timid schoolgirl who becomes the badass babysitter at the end of the movie.
Right. Frances doesn't have that.
Frances has none of that. Like, they could have killed Frances and it wouldn't have mattered because she doesn't have a character turn. She's the same character.
She remains a victim.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So the point of these movies is you redeem she's not the timid character anymore.
Yeah. She didn't grow.
The person that gets revenge and gets and saves Frances is the best friend.
I'm okay.
Who we see for 5-10 minutes.
I'm okay with it. I like the fakeroo. I like her saying I had to search every damn subway. Like, I liked it.
I liked that, but they should have killed Frances.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean,
how did Erica poison the coffee?
She
I think she switched it.
I think it was.
Well, she got up. She got up to go check on the neighbors doing their construction,
right?
And then poisoned her Greta's coffee.
Oh, wow. I thought Greta brought her poisoned coffee.
No.
She did the old get smart.
Oh, that would make more sense because then
no, because Greta didn't poison Frances from the get.
Yeah, but she also seems to be escalating how quickly she starts to do these.
That's
things.
True.
I took it as that the friend put the drops in.
Yeah,
you're
did.
Supposed to think it's Greta.
Yeah,
Erica knew the drug too. She's like, "You've been dosed with this much Rohypnol."
Oh yeah.
Oh, that's true.
She goes, "I put a crap ton of roofies in it."
Yeah.
Yeah.
They should call them Flories. It's from the Hangover.
Old joke. Yeah.
It's because they're called a Rufalin. Is that true?
So.
Yeah. So, so like they
and
they,
I like she, this a lot, but then I'm like, oh my god, she's Michael Myers. She's like the body's on the ground.
Yeah.
Erica's running around. I'm like, oh, you know, Greta's not gonna be there. And I thought they were gonna end it like that. And I'm like, oh my god, they're gonna set this up for Greta too.
Well, they do,
they do.
But I mean, but I'm like at that point, like I like that she at least did show back up,
right? And then she passes.
I thought
back
it was because it's complete Michael
right.
Myers,
yeah. Right? So they pull Erica pulls Frances out of the room, and then they shove. Instead of killing Greta right there, which is what you should have done, they put her in the chest and they use an Eiffel Tower because she's French, Kevin.
Yeah.
Well, but quote
this
unquote.
Is the spinning top from Inception, but even dumber.
Yes.
But they also she also keeps telling everybody that her daughter went to Paris.
Yeah, right.
Oh yeah, and we
the daughter's dead.
We glossed over it, but the. Greta is from Hungary,
yes.
And it's pretending to be French.
Right.
So.
Which I didn't realize.
But yeah, that daughter, I mentioned it earlier, but the daughter is dead.
Nina,
she never went to Paris, worse. But her roommate, she was her like counselor, and they
became romantically
involved.
She was her sponsor.
Yeah, and AA, and they became involved. But she ends up getting kidnapped by Greta.
Right.
And, yeah.
No.
Right.
She kills herself.
The
daughter killed herself.
No, the friend. The friend was in the bag, right? She kidnapped her. Her clothes were in the room, and then
no, that was another girl.
Oh,
just another girl.
Yeah,
Sam, based Sam,
right?
Oh,
Samantha,
okay.
Or whatever. Yeah,
I thought the clothes
not...
and stuff she found because she had already eaten lunch with the friend. I thought then it was like I know this person and this friend. How'd you?
No,
okay.
No. Yeah.
Well, either way, it doesn't.
Either way, yeah. So that's how it ends. Is like,
but
I love that
spinning top comparison though of the Eiffel Tower. Like, first of all, they're like, what should we do? Like, they want to. Torture her and like punish her for what they've done, but it's like you need to just call the police, girl. Like they're sitting there in front of the stupid case.
Yeah.
Like the first thing you do, I don't have firsthand experience, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say, when you're a kidnapped victim, the first thing you want to do is get out of there instead of sitting in front of your captor.
Yeah, I will also say like so. There's a scene where Frances can get away. I was like, you know, just because you can't get out the door doesn't mean you can't smash a window.
When you're outside and the wall is a little high, you don't go get a chair to climb up. You go to the basement.
Makes sense.
Obviously.
The smallest windows in there.
Yeah. I mean, when she went downstairs, that's why I'm saying these girls are dum-dums. I'm not trying to be mean, but
it's not a well
really.
For whatever they were going for, it was not well executed.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's how it ends is the little Eiffel Tower starts
is
to
nudging
kind
its
of
way
fall
out but it never goes out. So I love Jeff's comparison of the spinning top because it's like, is she out? But we know she's alive, but they don't end up calling the police, I guess, because they don't want her taken away. They want you to question, will she get out of the box before?
Yeah. One can only hope she rots in that box.
Stay in that box.
That's how. There's no post-credits. There's no, you know.
I liked the last about 25 minutes. I think Jeff said
the last 10 minutes.
It gets crazy.
I'm talking about the credits.
Yeah. If they would have went full throttle insanity with this movie, like the first half, I was bored to death, hated this movie. I'm like, this is the next Room. They're going to screen it at midnight showings. They're going to repeat the lines just like Tommy Wiseau. And then halfway through and it starts getting crazy, I was digging it. And kind of like Tom told me, I kind of dug it. I'm like, well, I was in at that point. But
right.
Whew.
Yeah, like I said, I won't defend it, but like, I will also won't ever watch it again.
Oh god!
But I enjoyed the ride while I was in the theater.
So I almost had a fight in my theater.
What happened?
I don't know. So like, I'm sitting there, and it was a fairly diverse crowd. There was a single black dude. There was a younger black dude, and I'm probably a middle-aged black man. And then
I love the diversity.
Just wait
of
a
your
minute,
theater.
I'm getting there. Just okay. Wait a second.
He was there. That makes it diverse.
There was another black couple.
I was
and
just
then,
waiting for other than their ages.
And then there was an older white couple and me. And I don't know what happened, but the middle-aged black dude that was there with a boy, not a boy, but a teenager, a 20-year-old maybe, and the white dude, something happened. And they were mother effing each other from across the aisle. And like, I just kind of kicked my feet up and I was like, well, this is more interesting than the movie. I'm just going to. And then like they both kind of made those moves, you know, like those moves that tough guys make where it's like, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Like
stick their chest.
Yeah, it's exactly what happened. And they both kind of went to get up and I was like, oh, 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 nope. They sat back down.
Did you have your firearm in case?
Hell no.
Did you have your cuffs?
No.
Anything?
No.
Did you keep any like, okay.
Go at it, boys.
I'm off the clock.
Yeah, I'm not working. But yeah, I was just like, well, this is way more interesting than the movie. You're not going to. Oh, nope. You both sat back down. All right.
Jeff, what was your theatrical experience? Since you live somewhere different than us, and I don't know what theater chain you usually go to, but what was your theater like?
Do they have very many movie theaters in a small town like Boston?
You got to drive.
Do you?
It's a drive. Yeah. That's like 5 Dunkin' Donuts before you get to a single movie theater.
So when did you see it, and what was your crowd like?
So I got your message yesterday, and I had already had plans to go skiing, so the only time I could see this movie was 10 o'clock last night.
Oh, well, thank you.
And this is a compliment to your podcast. I really did not want to go.
Oh,
but I did.
He's like, why can't I get a good movie?
And I sit in the back. Uh-huh. 6 drunk people come in. They're the only other people in the theater. They sit right behind me. Once the movie started, they weren't that bad.
Just a real quick point of clarification. You're in Boston, so shouldn't you assume they're drunk and only point out sober people? We're just going to assume anybody in your story is drunk.
I was the sober person. I was the asshole, really.
Yeah.
Look at this guy back here trying to be sober in this movie.
Oh, fancy pants. Too good to drink.
And what was funny is at the end, when they were sitting by the box, there was only 6 of them, but 3 of them were yelling, call the cops, get out of the house.
Yeah.
So they were really involved.
Seems about
in the
right.
End.
So they were, these were the.
And I will say, I didn't like the beginning and I didn't want to be there, but the last half hour was good enough that I left satisfied.
Right? Yeah. It saved it. If that movie had not gone bonkers 2/3 in, this would have been just a completely irredeemable piece of trash. But I'm not saying it's great. I won't watch it again either, but it went crazy enough to at least save the experience. So. We appreciate you doing that. 10 o'clock at night seeing this movie.
Well done.
Like, thank you for sticking to it and
not
just.
Well worth it. I had a lot of fun talking about it.
Good. Because, awesome. I mean, you know, some people might go, hey, something came up. I can't do the podcast. So kudos to you for sticking it out.
I thought about doing a blind man synopsis.
Yeah. Nice. We know you're a realist.
You remember Dominican Lou from SNL?
Yeah.
He would review movies even though he hadn't seen them.
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
Just out of curiosity, since you know you're the first patron to be on the show as a guest like this, how did you hear about the podcast? Where did you find it, and what's your experience been listening?
I heard about you guys through the Chat podcast.
Oh, nice.
And then Show Spoilers, and then Real Spoilers.
Sweet. So do you listen to Show Spoilers?
I do, yes.
Oh, that's awesome.
Because when we were doing Mr. Robot, I would listen to your guys' takes on Mr. Robot afterwards and stuff.
Sweet. That's awesome. Well, that's good to know. Yeah, I think I'm not sure. I think we may be doing Game of Thrones. That's the big one. You know, that was the first show spoiler was the season finale from last year. So I think we'll do Game of Thrones and then definitely Mr. Robot. So I don't know what else we'll add, but it will be coming back soon.
Awesome. And keep up the box office reports. Those are my favorite.
You do like the box office reports? All right, good.
It's weird given the conversation we had off air.
We're not getting rid of them. They're not going anywhere. You know, sometimes we get weeks where we have the 2 movies and like we just don't have time to record 3, but they're not going anywhere. And I'm glad people like them. The only thing that we're thinking of doing, since, you know, you get to know a little inside baseball here, is we're thinking of maybe rebranding them for people that might skip over them so they still would exist, but not calling them box office reports. I don't know. What do you think, Jeff?
Have they always been split into 2 podcasts, or did it used to be the box of support and the movie were 1 big long podcast?
Originally, it was 1 big long podcast, and it was just, but it was one, but it was like every episode was ending up at like 2:15, and it was just, and it's just too unwieldy to expect people to. I just think it's intimidating for people. You download a podcast and it's over 2 hours, like that's a lot.
Yeah, I think splitting it was a good idea. Yeah. What would you call it if it's not the box office report?
Well, we're thinking about inserting, like, maybe just kind of doing, like, a weekly recap of sorts of just, like, here's some of the bigger stories from the week in movies. And
segments, then do the box office.
That's kind of what I like about the box office report. not actually the numbers.
That's right. The main thing. That's why we're thinking of rebranding it, because the problem is a lot of people might be skipping over it, but really it's not about the numbers. I can read you the numbers in 5 minutes. It's the tangents, and that's the conversation that you and people like. But the problem is when you get, you know, Joe Q listener that is like, oh, box office, like, I don't care what it made 2 weeks ago. I'll go to the movie. And we're like, you're missing out on all the freeform tangents that we do.
And that's why a lot of times we're quick to skip over a box office report if it's an especially busy week at the theater, because we also know that just from the long tail theory of marketing, a movie episode is going to have a much greater shelf life than a news report, in 2 months, nobody's going to be like, oh, yeah, I didn't listen to that box office report. I'm going to listen to it now.
But when it's not called the box office report.
Totally.
The people that know what it is know that it's not just the numbers are irrelevant. That's just a reason to talk for another hour about whatever. But if we brand it something else, hopefully like a mini episode, you know, like other podcasts have names for them. If we do something and we can title it, maybe even the topic, like whatever the biggest topic is of the week or whatever, just call it the number and then that mini episode or something rather than box office report, I think we may have more luck.
Anyway, there you go.
It could work.
That's cool.
Well, thanks for your input, and thanks again for doing this.
So I guess that wraps up this one. I guess we can go around the table and everybody can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. And Jeff, where can people find you?
On Twitter at Endgame Podcast.
Awesome. And don't forget, you can find the show online at Facebook.com/RealSpoilers. While you're there, join the League of Show Sharers. And, of course, our Patreon account, where maybe you can be a big-time Real Spoilers guest like Jeff Hamilton.
Was it worth it, Jeff?
Totally worth it.
Awesome. Glad to hear it.
So,
thank you very much.
You can do that at Patreon.com/RealSpoilers. So that's it for this one. Coming up next week, I don't know what it's going to be next week.
Maybe deep fried tacos. I don't think there's anything that we need to talk about.
Go watch something on Netflix. I don't know.
so next week, of course, is Captain Marvel. So calm down. I need to brace my wife. We'll probably be down in the basement for a long time.
It's a safe bet.
So anyway, that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, Maud overdoses.
On the top shelf in the closet, in the workshop where he spent his extra time, was a dusty wooden box that I had never noticed till that night. Then we set it on the table, and carefully we opened up the top and stared into the memory.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.